Chapter 2. A Ghost and a Teacher. The dominant ghost that haunts this magical region appears as a man on horseback, a man without a head. Some say this headless horseman is the ghost of a foreign soldier. This soldier is said to have lost his head by cannon fire in the Revolutionary War. The country folk constantly see this ghost racing along in the night. His haunts are not limited to the valley. Sometimes he haunts nearby roads, especially in the area of the local church. Indeed, some of the most respected historians of those parts say that the body of the soldier is buried in the churchyard. They say the ghost rides across the land every night in search of his head. He rides at such a fast speed, they say, to get back to the churchyard before the sun rises. Such are the general details of this legendary superstition. It has provided the material for many a wild story in that region of shadows. And the ghost is known in all the country homes. When people have to call the ghost by name, they whisper, "The Headless Horseman of Sleepy Hollow." It is remarkable that it is not only native inhabitants of Sleepy Hollow who see this ghost. The spooky legend unknowingly sinks into the minds of everyone who lives there for a time. It does not matter how wide awake they may have been before they entered that sleepy region. Once in Sleepy Hollow, they are sure to change in a little time. Slowly, everyone grows imaginative, dreams strange dreams, and sees ghosts. I mention this peaceful spot with all possible praise. The rest of the country rapidly changes for the worse, but the people, manners, and customs of Sleepy Hollow remain the same. Though many years have passed since I walked the quiet woods of Sleepy Hollow, I expect it remains exactly the same. In this quiet little place, there lived a worthy creature by the name of Ichabod Crane. Crane taught the young children of Sleepy Hollow in their small school. He was tall, but very lanky. He had narrow shoulders and long arms and legs. His hands seemed to hang down a mile out of his sleeves. His feet might have been used for shovels. Indeed, his whole frame hung together most loosely. His head was small and flat on top. He had huge ears, large green glassy eyes, and a long hooked beak of a nose. When striding along the top of a hill on a windy day, his baggy clothes fluttered about him. This made him look just like a scarecrow from a cornfield. His small schoolhouse was a low building that had just one large room. It was simply constructed of logs. Some windows were covered with ancient squares of glass. Others were covered in faded pages torn from old writing books. Even so, it was always tightly secured after school hours. The schoolhouse stood in a rather lonely but pleasant location. It was just at the foot of a woody hill. A charming brook ran close by, and a huge birch tree grew at one end of the schoolhouse. From here, the low murmur of his pupils' voices might be heard on a sleepy summer's day. It sounded something like the hum of a beehive. This hum was interrupted now and then by the loud and clear voice of the schoolmaster. Occasionally, the hum was interrupted by the swishing and slapping sound of a birch branch correcting a student. The teacher often quoted the old saying, "Spare the rod and spoil the child." Ichabod Crane's young students were certainly not spoiled. He was not, however, one of those cruel kings of the school who take joy in the pain of their subjects. On the contrary, he administered justice with discrimination rather than severity. He took the burden off the backs of the weak and laid it on those of the strong. A tiny boy who cried at the smallest tap of the branch was passed by with indulgence, but the tough, stubborn boy who grew sullen was punished with force. Ichabod Crane called this style of punishment doing his duty by their parents. He never punished a student without afterward offering consolation. Usually, he cheered up the punished with the promise, "Someday you will thank me for it."